Well, that Rav Shai Shachter is here to give us wonderful words of his wisdom and share with us. And when you realize what a great speaker he is and how much you like him, you come back to more Yachad stuff and you might have a chance to hear him speak again. So,
I surely hope that is not the selling point for going on Yachad programs. Good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for being here. I know all of you must be exhausted. I share in that sentiment. It's been an amazing day. I started my day with a bris, which is wonderful to start your day with a simcha, which was then followed by a levaya, which was followed by the first shiur that I gave in my shul, followed by my second shiur that was given in Lander College for Women, followed by two shiurim that were given in Stern College, and straight here on the subway, which is an amazing experience unto itself. And this is the highlight of my day, to come together and to encourage and to speak about Yachad and to have the opportunity for all of us to inspire each other about the important work that all of you are going to do or already do and are involved in on an ongoing basis is something that to me is extremely inspiring every time I see it. I always feel very inadequate and very uncomfortable when I come to Yachad staff events because I personally would not be able to do what all of you do. I'm not good at this. I don't know how to do it well. I have no expertise. I have no training. And I am envious of the fact that so many of the members of our community feel that it is worthy to give up of their weekends, to give up of their evenings, to give up of their summers, and to do all the activities that Yachad engages you to be involved with. And it's something that continues to inspire me. It's something that I hope we will continue to provide for our community. And I've said it so many times. Yachad is an opportunity for all of us to engage members of our community that otherwise may be overlooked and may not have the opportunity to really be involved in all the different experiences and engagements that our community affords so many other of its members. And that is why it is so important for us. In fact, in this past week's Parsha, we read about Kabbalas HaTorah. And this week in the Parsha and Parshas Mishpatim, we have the spillover of the story of Kabbalas HaTorah. And in doing so, in describing what Kabbalas HaTorah is, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kol Hashem Bakoach, that the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very strong. So the Medrash asks, really? The voice of Hashem is so strong. Don't we know the Navi describes the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being a Kol Dimama Daka, that the voice of Hashem is a very still and soft, sensitive voice. So which one is it? And the answer that the Medrash gives is that this is a description of the occasion of Kabbalas HaTorah. And on that occasion, Kol Hashem Bakoach. The voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was B'koach shel kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael. The way that the Torah was transmitted, the way that the Torah was given, was in such a fashion that it was worthy for every person to be able to experience it and to appreciate it, and the Ribono Shel Olam communicated the messages and the values of Torah in a way that every member of the community would be able to relate to. B'koach shel kol echad ve'echad. That is our job. That is what Yachad stands for, giving the opportunity to be a member of the Jewish community and to share in that koach shel kol echad ve'echad, allowing every member of our community and affording them all the opportunity to tap into the value of what it means to have a rich and meaningful Jewish life. And that is what is so special about the work that all of you do. What's very fascinating is when you want to understand what is the essence of any book that you will read. So sometimes there will be a blurb that will give you the synopsis, that will give you the background, that will give you some kind of information about what the book is. But the Gemara says in Maseches Sota Daf Yudalet, if you want to understand what is the entirety of Torah, how do you understand, how would you categorize or classify, if you had to make one mission statement of what the Torah is, what would that be? There are so many different directions to go in. And the answer, says the Gemara, is Torah Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim, V'sofa Gemilas Chasadim. The major underlying objectives and themes of what the Torah represents are Gemilas Chasadim. The very beginning of the Torah, says the Gemara, describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Adam and Chava. He clothed them, he provided them with everything they needed. And in the very end of the Torah, we read the story of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was willing to trouble himself, so to speak, to bury Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't hand it off to anyone else. There would have been plenty of people who would have been happy to be involved. Burying Moshe Rabbeinu is a big deal. Anyone would have joined the Chevra Kadisha for that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am all about Gemilas Chasadim. That is why I myself helped Adam and Chava. And in the very end of the Torah, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself helps Moshe Rabbeinu as well. And I think what you learn from that is that this is what the theme of the entirety of Torah really represents for all of us. If you want to know, there are many different categories of mitzvahs. There's ben adam lachaver, there's ben adam lachadosh baruch hu, ben adam lamakom, ben adam laatzmo, there's Shabbos, there's kashrus, taras hamishpacha, and so many different things that we need to worry about. But if you want to know the essence of kol haTorah kula, it's tchilas gemilas chasadim, v'sofa gemilas chasadim. So much so that the Gemara writes in Maseches Yevamos Ayin Tes that there are three hallmark characteristics, three signature midos that every Jew must have. And what are that? What are they? Rachmanim, Baishanim, v'gomle chasadim. It's the essence of who we are. By our very nature, we are gomle chasadim, we are a people who care. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sota Daf Yudalit a very fascinating thought. Says the Gemara, we have a mitzvah of ha'alachta bedrachav. We're supposed to walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, v'chi efshe lahalech achar hashchina. Can I actually be in the close proximity of the Ribono Shel Olam? Don't we know that the Pasuk says, ki Hashem alokecha eish ochla. If you come too close to the Ribono Shel Olam, you will get consumed by that all-consuming fire. So what does it mean that we're supposed to be close to the Ribono Shel Olam? Says the Gemara, it's the mitzvah of ha'alachta bedrachav. Mahu af ata. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mal b'sharumim, says the Gemara, just like the Ribono Shel Olam goes out of his way to make clothing for Adam and Chava, so too we should do the same. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kovar mesim, we should do the same. Just like he's Menachem Avelim and he goes to visit Avram Avinu after the Bris Milah, we should all do the same. And that is what it means when it says v'halachta b'drachav. That's what we learn from this pasuk. We have another Gemara in Maseches Shabbos where the Gemara learns from the pasuk Zeh Keli ve'anvehu. Va'anvehu, says the Gemara, is really a compounded word, and what it stands for is anivahu, hevei domalo. I should emulate. I should be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu racham lechanun, afata racham lechanun. Just like the Ribono Shel Olam is merciful, is compassionate, is sensitive, is caring, is loving, so too we should be the same. So the question that Rav Soloveitchik asks is, why do you need two psukim to tell you the same lesson? We have the mitzvah ve'alachta bedrachav, which tells us you should be kovar mesim, you should be menachem avelim, you should be mevaker cholim, all of those. We have another pasuk that says, mahu racham lechanun. Why do we need two different psukim? We know that every word in the Torah is carefully measured and is there for a very specific purpose. There is nothing at random. So why do we need these two psukim to teach us the very same lesson? And the answer of Soloveitchik suggests is, because these two psukim are addressing two different kinds of people. You have some individuals who care very deeply about others. They're very emotional, very soft people. But they don't do anything about it. So you can care all you want. And you can be sensitive all you want. But you don't stand up and do anything to change the situation. You have other people who are always the first ones to run to do. Take for an example, and I don't mean to single this out, but a member of Hatzalah. They love it. They run. They go. That's why they joined Hatzalah. They want to make a difference. A doctor is running to his patients, wants to help out, wants to save a life, wants to improve a life. But sometimes, when you get so involved in critical care, you stop caring so much. You can't care about every patient. You can't put your emotions into it all the time. It will be impossible for you to do the work. What the Torah tells us here is, both of these components are the expectation of every Jew. The Ribono Shel Olam expects of us to be those individuals who are Menachem Avelim, who are Kover Mesim, who are Gomle Chasadim, who are Mevaker Chola, who are doing actions, who are actively engaged in all the different experiences that are necessary to have a functioning and caring Jewish society. At the same time, the Torah says that is not enough. The Torah expects of us beyond that, that we will not only do what needs to be done, but we will also care for what it is that we are doing. Mahu racham lechanun. It's not only doing chesed, it's not only engaging in acts of kindness, it is also feeling and living and understanding the sensitivity that is necessary for this individual that I am currently tending to. You know, sometimes I think about it, there's a sign on the door of a shiva house that says, please don't come after 11 o'clock. You show up at 11:05, yeah, they don't really care. They do really care. They do really care. So you're doing the mitzvah of Nicham Avelim, but you're not being sensitive about it. You're not thinking about what you're doing. The people have specifically said, don't come now. think about it sometimes, people try to arrange a visit around their schedules. So I'm going to visit someone in the hospital, but I'm on my way to a wedding, so I'm wearing my gown, and I'm wearing my jewelry, and I just did my makeup, and my hair is all done, and I walk into a hospital where somebody feels very sick, not dressed in their own clothing, wearing a hospital gown, and I walk in. So am I doing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim? Yes, I check the box. I'm doing Bikur Cholim. Am I being sensitive as I'm doing that? Am I thinking about what does it look like from the other perspective? When they see someone looking like me walk into the room, when they feel the way they feel, what does that do to them? So there's a dual expectation of all of us. It's not just the Kovar Mesim. It's not just the Menachem Avelim. It's not just the Mevaker Cholim. It's understanding that as we do that, we have to live it. We have to think about it. We have to understand and be sensitive to the needs of those individuals and kick in our Midas HaRachmanus into everything that we're doing as well. And that's what I find to be extremely inspiring about the programs that Yachad runs. It's not just that there are programs that need to happen in order that we should be able to say, we've done something for the community that needs our help. There's so much beyond that. I remember I called Avrami Adler, who is the head of Yachad. What is he, the CEO? Is that really? He's the chairman of Yachad, director, international, national director, whatever. I should know this, but okay. Don't tell him. So I remember I called him. It was an individual in our community who wanted to go on Yad B'Yad. And I called Avrami and I said, listen, you know, I don't call in favors. This is not what I do. And they went through the general application process a little bit late. But I said they would very much gain from being on Yad B'Yad. But I just want you to know, I'll be totally transparent and very honest. A little bit of a complicated story, a little emotional, irregularity there. Something is, you know, not working socially, totally in school. He's like, perfect. It's exactly who we want on the program. This is made for that person. Most camps would say, you know what? It's already past the deadline. We have enough people to fill the rest of the slots without an extra headache that we need to worry about. Like, why would we take this on? And the answer is no, that is why we take it on. Those are the people that we want on the program because they're going to grow from the experience, because we'll deal with them with sensitivity and with caring. And we're going to give them the attention that they deserve. We're not just providing a service. We're providing it with personalized attention for the individual who needs those services. And that, I think, is part of the job and part of what is very inspiring about the work that all of you will continue to do. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, when you think about it, how would you compare Gemilas Chasadim with the Mitzvah of Tzedakah? We know that Chazal say there are tremendous gains and benefits for a person who is engaged in the Mitzvah of Tzedakah. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives me money, I should share it with other people. And if I do that properly, there are lots of things that Chazal say about what the reward is for somebody who makes sure to do that. But the Gemara Maseches Sukkah and the last daf in Sukkah compares and contrasts the mitzvah of tzedakah versus Gemilas Chasadim. Number one, says the Gemara, and you'll see, this is something that you find as you do your work with Yachad, you'll understand that this is not a tzedakah, this is Gemilas Chasadim. Number one, says the Gemara, when you have an opportunity to give tzedakah, who are you giving it to? That is limited to a small pool of the population. That is only for aniyim. That is only for people who don't have money. If somebody has enough money, what am I giving tzedakah for? But Gemilas Chasadim is bein la'aniyim u bein la'ashirim. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is. It doesn't matter what kind of community or family you come from. It doesn't matter what your level of affiliation may or may not be. We have the opportunity to do Gemilas Chasadim, and that crosses all boundaries. The great equalizer. You'll see if you go on a summer program or you go on a Shabbaton, you may have people there whose parents are millionaires. You may have people there whose parents are on food stamps. It doesn't make a difference. We all have an opportunity to provide equally for anyone who needs our help. And that is the great gift of what it means to be a Gomel Chesed. It is not limited to a certain or specific pool of the population. It is something that crosses all boundaries. And beyond that, the second thing the Gemara says is, tzedakah is only b'mamono. Tzedakah, of course, we all feel an attachment to our hard-earned money, and we should. It is ours. We should look after our money. We know that Yaakov Avinu looked after the pachim ketanim, the smallest element of his wealth. He was careful about it because it meant something to him. He worked hard for it. But beyond that, when I give away my tzedakah, I'm just separating with something that is an external part of myself. However, says the Gemara, when I do Gemilas Chasadim, it is bein b'mamono, ubein begufo. When I do gemilas chasadim, I use not only my money, but I also have the opportunity to use my body. And so often the opportunity that we are given when we are engaged with the Yachad community is that experience of not only giving of our money. Yes, here and there, you may spend a little bit of money, you may help out in that way, but beyond that, and so much more than that, is using our body for gemilas chasadim. How so? Sometimes it means physically lifting a Yachad participant. Sometimes it means wheeling someone in a wheelchair. Sometimes it means just lending an ear, letting someone talk to us. That's giving of our body in a way that is so profoundly impactful. Many people don't have the patience to listen, and especially to listen to someone who may have a little bit of difficulty formulating their thoughts in the way that many others might. And these are the opportunities that we are given as we engage in this incredible endeavor of what Yachad offers all of us the opportunity to do. The Baal Shem Tov is famously quoted as saying that the pasuk in Tehillim that says Hashem Tzilcha, the Ribono Shel Olam, is our shade. It doesn't just mean that he provides shade and shelter for us and we feel protected, but the Baal Shem Tov says it also means Hashem Tzilcha, the Ribono Shel Olam, God is our shadow. And the same way, when I move my hand and I adjust any part of my body in the sun, the shadow will reflect everything that I am doing. So too the Ribono Shel Olam will do the same. And we go out of our way to show rachamim, to show chesed, to show our sense of understanding and our compassion for others. And we hope and we pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same for us as well. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, who passed away in the mid-1700s, he was a great gadol in Poland, the Rav of Altoona, Hamburg, and Prague. So Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz made a comment that once I heard it, it has transformed my Shmona Esrei, at least one bracha in my Shmona Esrei. We say every day the bracha of Magen Avraham. I'll be honest, it's not one of the brachas I think too much about. I know you're supposed to think about every word of Shmona Esrei, and especially the beginning of Shmona Esrei, but I don't know. It doesn't mean so much to me when I say Magen Avraham. Okay, I got it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked after Avraham Avinu. We hope he'll look after us as well. Sounds good. Pretty simple equation. But listen to Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. He suggests, what right do I have to demand or to request or ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should look after me the same way he looked after Avraham Avinu? The Ribbono Shel Olam protected him. He did miracles for him. What right do I have to ask for that? The only right that I have to ask for that is if I live my life in a way that is somewhat comparable to the life that Avraham Avinu himself lived. What kind of life did Avraham Avinu live? He was the Amura Chesed. Avraham Avinu gave of himself for everyone. Avraham Avinu had his open tent. Avraham Avinu was out there. He was active. He was helping people all the time. When he was sick and he went out to engage people when he did not have to. It's because it's by nature. That's what he was. It was his essence. It's what defined him. Without being able to do chesed, Avraham Avinu felt, I'm just not a human being. I can't live another day. What am I doing? Why am I here? Machal vasa ba'olamo. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, you only have a right to say Magen Avram in your Shmona Esrei. You only have a right to demand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect you the way he protected Avraham Avinu if you in return are willing to live a life like Avraham Avinu lived as well. And then you say, okay, I consider myself similar in some way. I mirror the behavior of Avraham Avinu, and therefore I expect you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to mirror your reaction, your response that you gave to Avraham Avinu as well. And that to me was a transformative thought. It was something that really made me think carefully. Are we doing enough? Are we doing everything we can to live those kinds of lives? We all want protection. We all want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look after us. And especially, we live at a pretty dangerous time. We all need the Ribbono Shel Olam to take very good care of us. And what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, we pledge to live those kinds of lives. We pledge to live lives where we have the opportunity to see the better in other people and to provide for their deficiencies and their needs at times, whatever they may be. Sometimes with our mamon, sometimes with our guf, sometimes with a combination of both. Sometimes we're exhausted and we really have no interest in going. Sometimes we have so many other commitments and this is the last thing that is on our list of responsibilities, but we go anyway because we know what a difference it will make. And that's really the privilege that all of us are given as we sign up, as we commit ourselves to do this kind of work. What can I say other than the words of David HaMelech, and I feel this is so appropriate. It's a tefillah that I try to offer every day of my life. You know, being a rabbi is not easy. Dealing with the amount of people that I deal with is not always easy. Not everyone in the world is so nice and so lovely. I know the song, every yid is a big tzaddik, not every yid is such a big tzaddik, and not everybody is so lovely, and not everyone is so caring and so sensitive. It's not easy. And I tell myself all the time, with all the difficulty and the complications and the people that you deal with, and not everyone is so simple, and everyone has their own story, and sometimes family structures are very complicated and you have to get in the middle of it. It's just not always so easy. But with all of that, would I trade it in for anything? I would never. With all the difficulties that are going to come up in your experience being a member of the Yachad staff, and there are going to be difficulties, and we talk about it every summer. Everyone goes on these programs and says, it's going to be amazing and I can't wait. Yeah, until the first hiccup happens and you don't know what to do. And it's really hard. And you say to yourself, why am I here? The answer is you need to ask yourself in advance, would I ever trade this in for anything? David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemei chayai. Can there be a greater privilege in the world that you have chesed running after you your entire life? And sometimes it means you're going to be very exhausted. And sometimes it means you have no interest at all. And sometimes it means I have no patience. I just came back from a bad date. I was just dumped. I just dumped someone else. I don't feel good about it. They don't feel good. Whatever it may be. But how privileged, how lucky, and how blessed I am. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemei chayai. Is there a greater blessing, is there a greater tefillah in the world for any of us than that request of asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us opportunities to do chesed every day of our lives? The Bir Halacha, the Mishneh Berurah, writes that we have an obligation to learn Torah every day, we have an obligation to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, and he says we also have an obligation to make sure that we do chesed every day. It has to be part of the schedule. It can't be just, oh, when I come across it, if someone asks me, then I do it. Chesed has to be part of the schedule, and it could be a different scale of chesed. It could be different levels at different times in different measures, but it has to be part of our daily schedule. It has to be something that is so fundamental to the core of who we are. It defines us. It's what the Gemara says, we are rachmanim, baishanim, vigomle chasadim. And I said I was going to finish with something else, but I'll finish again. My wife will be upset because whenever she listens to me, I always say this. I'm going to finish, and then I don't finish, and I finish with something else. So here we are. I'm really going to finish with this. The Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed, al ha-Torah, ve'al ha'avoda, ve'al gemilas chasadim. Notice there's something strange in the sequence there. What's missing? When we refer to our obligation to learn Torah, we say al ha-Torah. When we refer to avoda, which means our tefillah, avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, whatever it may be, we say ve'al ha-avoda. Whenever we learn Chumash, we understand that the hey is something that highlights something special, something different. Then when we describe Gemilas Chasadim, we just say, Val Gemilas Chasadim. So why is it that Gemilas Chasadim seems not to be so important? And yet, the Torah gets a hey before it, the Avoda gets a hey, and Gemilas Chasadim does not. I once saw, there's a Rav, passed away I think about 50 years ago, Rav Tzvi Ferber was his name. He was a great Talmud Chacham who lived in London. So my father had his farm in the house when I was growing up. I remember my father showed them to me as a child. And I once saw on there that he writes, what is the difference? He says, there are many different people who claim to be giving over the authentic way to live a Torah life. Not all of them are correct. Shabtai Tzvi also said he was giving over an authentic way to live a Torah life, but he was rejected. He's not right. So you only get credit if you live a life of ha-Torah, the right way to learn Torah. If you happen to end up in the wrong institution, learning from the wrong people, studying a crooked path in Torah, sorry, but you're going wrong. You get nothing for that. V'al ha'avoda. How do I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We have many people out there who are telling them, you should do this, you should do that, but it's some of them are very grounded. Some of them are based on reality. Some of them are based on the tradition, on the sources, and some of them are just making it up. So do you get credit for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that makes no sense? I remember a number of years ago, there was somebody, and this is not a criticism whatsoever. There was a woman in Shari Chesed, I don't know if she's still alive. Anybody ever heard of the Yellow Lady? She was in our times. Yellow Lady still around? I was always fascinated by the Yellow Lady. I met her a number of times. What does it mean to be the Yellow Lady? Exactly what it means. Somebody told her that your tafkid in life is to bring the yellowness to the world. I don't know what that means exactly. It's beyond my understanding. But yellow is your tafkid. And she literally walked around all day and all night, all the time in yellow, correct? Always. She walked around Shari Chesed. She was like a mascot of the neighborhood. When I was learning in yeshiva, you would see this woman everywhere wearing yellow. Now, I give her tremendous credit. She was so musser to the cause. She was so dedicated to whatever this Makubal or whoever it was told her. She was like, my life mission is yellow. And that's going to bring Mashiach. Well, he's not here yet. But I always wonder to myself, and again, I don't mean this as a criticism of her at all. I admire the fact that she believed in this so heavily that this is what she did without questioning it. But I once asked myself, when I bumped into the Yellow Lady and had a conversation with her, I wonder. So la'achar me'eva esrim shana. You come up to the Olam HaEmes and the Ribono Shalom says, okay, so what'd you do in your life? I wore yellow every day in my life. Okay. So what was the point? I don't know. Some Makubal told me that's what I should do. What happens then? Like, what if it turns... I don't know. Maybe the Makubal's right. But what if it turns out that your yellowness was nothing? And somebody just pulled your leg because you're very... I don't know. But somebody just convinced you of something that makes no sense, that has no basis in anything, but I'm just a very sincere person, so I went along with it. And for 40 years of my life, I was doing this diligently. What happens? Do I get schar for that? Or does the Ribono Shalom say, like, I know you're so sincere and you mean so well, but, like, you just fell in with the wrong person and, like, you were convinced of things that made no sense? It says the Mishnah, V'al ha'avoda. You get schar when you do the real avoda, not when you follow fake things that make no sense. You daven from a siddur that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah told you to use, you get schar for that. It has to be the right avoda, otherwise it's worth nothing. It's not called avoda just because I feel spiritual. That's when it comes to Torah, and that's when it comes to Avodah. What about Gemilas Chasadim? Says the Mishnah, there is no Ha Gemilas Chasadim. It doesn't have to be in a certain way. Gemilas Chasadim is when there's a need, and that need is identified, and I am called upon to be able to do that, or I volunteer of myself to do it. Doesn't matter how big, it doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter what my intentions are, it doesn't matter if I mean well, if I don't mean well, if it ended up helping another person, I have done the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim. And sometimes that will present itself in very minimal investment of our time, of our energy, of our effort, of our money. Other times it may expect of us, it may want from us a lot more, may demand of us a lot of time and a lot of effort. Sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's harder, but all of that falls under the very special heading of Gemilas Chasadim, and all of that is going to be accounted for. And that, says the Mishnah, is what's special and unique about Gemilas Chasadim as opposed to many other areas of religious observance that we do on a daily basis as Jews. We have an opportunity to engage in the greatest acts of chesed. I would say, in so many ways, this is a chesed shel emes. Many of you will not be paid, correct? Many of these are unpaid positions. Chesed shel emes means when I do something and I don't expect anything in return. So you're not getting paid. Sometimes you're not getting loved. Sometimes a family does not know how to appreciate it, not because they don't care about you, but because they don't know how to express their appreciation. They're so overwhelmed by what it is that you have done for their child, they really don't know how to express that appreciation. So you're really not going into this because you expect anything in return. You're going into this because you are a caring, loving, sensitive person. Because you're a person who really understands the words of David HaMelech, Achtova Chesed Yerdefuni Kol Yemei Chayai. We should all be so lucky that the Ribono Shel Olam should continue to put in our path, to put in our way, the opportunities that we will be afforded to have Chesed being thrown at us from all sides, at all times, and throughout the entire journey of our lives. What a way to build the foundations of all of your homes, that it will be built on people who care about Chesed, who care about others. It's the greatest recipe for a great life. Other people are going to appreciate having you around. Other people are going to appreciate getting to know you, having relationships with you, being your spouse, because you are a caring, sensitive, understanding person who knows how to provide for others. Amir Tashem,
aluva hatzlichu. You should all be tremendously matzliach, not only in this avodas hakodesh, in this holy endeavor, but also in all the other things that you will continue to move on from after Yachad. Just beware that all of those staff members in the back of the room started in the same place you did, and 20 years later, they can't get themselves out. They landed up jobs in Yachad, and they are stuck with it forever, and we're very grateful to them for not giving up on this great ambition that they have. And Amir Hashem, that will be many of you in a couple of years as well. And we look forward to continuing to growing together, to providing together, and to being those Gomlei Chasadim that have the opportunity and the privilege of being the representatives of our community. Not everyone can do this, but how blessed and how privileged you are, and how blessed and how privileged the community is to have you as their representatives to do this holy work. I hope everyone enjoys.